Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm Joyce Famakinwa, senior reporter at Home Healthcare News. Today's episode is with Jonah Francis, who is the president of Pansy Home Care. In this conversation, Francis talks about running a family-owned business, the company's focus on dementia care, and the potential cuts to the Medicaid program. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's Disrupt. Today, we are joined by Jonah Francis, who is the CEO of Pansy Home Care. Jonah, where are you joining us from today?
I am checking in from Connecticut.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us. For the listeners that aren't familiar with Pansy Home Care, can you provide an overview of the company? It's also a family-owned business that is named after your mother. So can you talk a little bit about this too?
Yeah, sure thing. So Pansy Home Care, we were founded by my mother, Pansy, and we've been in business now since 2013, servicing mostly the Hartford County out here in Connecticut. In terms of like what we do and who we are an exclusive dementia care agency here in Connecticut. So everything that we do has been tailored towards servicing that population. Our mission statement is purpose-filled care. And when we think about it, what we think about is better relationships, better care, better you.
Yeah, and you just brought up a point that I wanted to touch on. Delivering non-medical home care support for seniors living with dementia has been the main focus of the business in recent years. Can you talk a little bit more about this for the listeners today?
Most definitely. So we've been on this journey now for the last 3.5 years, just about in terms of shifting our focus to an exclusive dementia care agency. While we kind of thought that, you know, as we going along this process, it'd be like a tweak to something here and something there, it's been an entire overhaul on our company. From our follow-up process to how we recruit our right fit caregiver, as well as our right fit client. So all of those things has changed along the way. And again, when we started, we thought, you know, maybe it'd be a tweak here or there, but it's been a dramatic overhaul of our organization.
And I want to pull on one of the threads you just introduced. What does recruitment look like at a company like yours that specializes in dementia care?
Sure thing. I mean, it really starts with the experience level of our caregivers, but regardless of where they're coming in from, we're making sure that they hit on the heart aspects that is required to be in the industry, but also required for dementia. We always like to say there's a difference between a good caregiver and a good employee, and we like to have both. However, we also know that a good employee can fail in situations if they're not trained and given the right delegations to be successful on their shifts. So one of the things that we do is we partnered with Second Wind to, you know, as a part of our recruiting process, to put all of our caregivers through that Second Wind dementia experience, to then talk to them in a group setting thereafter to see if they, again, have the heart for dementia care, not just being a normal care pro, but dementia care overall.
Yeah. And in your view, and just to give the listeners a little bit more insight into this, how would you say that training kind of differentiates itself from the training that maybe a more standard home care company would have for its caregivers?
Yeah. So we don't even look at the Second Wind dementia experience as a training per se. It's really a part of our onboarding process, just so that we can get a sense of whether or not this is going to be a right fit caregiver by the empathy shown from the questions that are asked. The experience overall is only 8 minutes. So, you know, it's an entire hour long experience or entire hour long session, if you will. So it's truly the conversations thereafter and the follow-up that we get to truly start to see that. We do have a dementia program overall that all of our caregivers go through, but for the Second Wind, we're really looking to see how this conversation lasts so that we can get a good feel for whether or not this person is going to make it to be a good member of our team. They have the heart, they have the empathy, they have the patience, and you know, the experience just kind of shows that they're connecting the dots a little bit with their experiences that they've had before. And we get to see that through this experience.
I want to shift gears a little bit. A few years ago, I profiled Pansy Home Care for Home Healthcare News. And when we spoke, I learned that Pansy Home Care is mostly a private pay agency, but that the company also had, at the time, a contract with VA, as well as a contract with Medicaid waiver programs. Is this still the current payer mix? And will that payer mix be a priority moving forward? Or are there plans to diversify? Why or why not?
Great question. So yes, we do still have this payer mix. We have been, ramping up our relationship with the VA so that we can continue to build on the relationship we already have here. However, over those years, our census for the Medicaid waivers has continued to dwindle down purposely. Here in Connecticut, I don't know just how kind of political you guys are, but here in Connecticut, we're not receiving the fundings that are required, the same reimbursement rates that even our neighboring states in Boston and also in New York are seeing. Their PCA waivers are up to $40 an hour versus $24 here in Connecticut. So we've made an effort to continue to dwindle down our Medicaid waivers program. However, one of the things that we would never completely move away from it, because our guarantee to all of our private clients is if they start with us privately, we will not let them go when they shift onto the program. So that's still a guarantee. We just don't take any direct referrals from the waivers program. So right about now, they stand at about 12% of our census, the waivers program, with private pay making up the balance of our census overall.
Got it. And what would need to happen for there to be kind of any shift in this current payer mix that we're seeing at the company?
Yeah, great question. So again, it's our community engagement that we're trying to really hone our hats on for getting more of the VA. We do have long-term care clients on board with us as well, so that is also a part of our payer mix. And one of the things that we're really hopeful for is Connecticut starts to improve its reimbursement for the Medicaid waivers program. What we've been asking for as a home care association here in Connecticut is a 13% increase effective immediately and then 10% year over year as minimum wage continues to go up. And what our thoughts are is if we can get this to go through and we can get this passed for those rates, then, Pansy Home Care will step back into the forefront when it comes to supporting clients on the Medicaid waiver side as well.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit, since we have talked a little bit about Medicaid. I have to ask, as a home care provider working in this space, what impact could the potential cuts being discussed by the current administration have when it comes to access to care for patients?
That's a great question. In terms of access, one of the things that I like to hang my hats on is our clients do great when our caregivers do great, and our caregivers do great when the agency does great. So unfortunately, if we are not able to, as agencies, to take care of our caregivers, who then in turn takes care of our clients, we're going to see caregivers exiting the home care industry overall. And as they continue to exit, we're going to start to see clients not being able to get the support that they need in home. So clients are going to suffer immensely because there just won't be the workforce able to support them.
And kind of along these lines, what are some of the biggest operational and financial challenges for home care providers right now, in your view? And how is Pansy Home Care navigating these challenges?
Sure. So the biggest challenge, I would at least say, is I still think recruiting is amongst the top, but I think differentiation is probably going to be the number one challenge. At least here in Connecticut, when we started, there was about 13 years ago, there was about 300 agencies in Connecticut. Fast forward to today, that number has increased dramatically to about 1,100 agencies in Connecticut. So I think differentiation is going to be key. Those agencies that can hang their hats on something like, for instance, that we do with dementia, that niche is going to be what kind of sets you apart and be able to drive quality of care. And how you measure and communicate your quality of care is what's going to help you to stand out as well.
Last time I interviewed you, we also touched on how the company had expanded the business. At the time, you had recently opened A Better Way, which was a mental health organization for seniors alongside your sister. Can you talk about the value add this is for Pansy Home Care and how that's doing?
Yeah, great question. And again, thanks for the shout out for A Better Way. So being that it is a mental health organization, the value add is we're able to, you know, clients that are looking, that are needing support that maybe Pansy Home Care cannot help, we're able to refer them. And A Better Way has licensed mental health clinicians that are able to meet with clients. And our offer to clients, unlike many others, is that we'll meet them in their homes. So oftentimes our clinicians are going into homes to do therapy sessions. And again, we don't see a lot of utilization from our clients on Pansy Home Care, so we don't tend to share clients much. However, it is a tool that we're able to offer out to all families, not just families under our umbrella.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about some of the other areas that the company is looking to get into. Are there any other service lines, something the company isn't currently doing, that you're interested in rolling out in the future?
Well, we are actually in the process of rolling out and being a part of, you know, one of the 1,000 agencies that are currently a part of Sensi AI. Technology is definitely the wave of the future. And as I said before, being able to not only measure care, but communicate care, and Sensi would help us to do that as well. So we are in the process of rolling out Sensi AI throughout our organization as well.
And what is the kind of focus of what you're hoping to do with AI?
Well, a lot, to be honest with you. But in terms of for Sensi in particular, to be able to get quality of care, and I keep on saying that because it's the truth, make sure our clients are getting the care that they need at the time that they need. And again, being able to show clients that without worrying whether or not they're believing what we say, because, you know, sometimes clients might think that you're doing it because you want to increase, you know, the amount of hours so that you can get paid more. This kind of utilizing a program like that kind of takes that stuff out and just centers and focuses on the clients. But outside of that, as I said, we're an exclusive dementia care agency, and there's so many things that happens on a shift to shift basis. So many, you know, challenging moments, for instance, that might happen, whether it's behaviorally challenging, that we're just not in the home for. Well, Sensi puts us in the home for those situations so we can build real-time trainings, programs, and feedbacks for our caregivers as to how they can succeed next time on their next shift or even get through that challenging moment that they're currently in.
Yeah, it seems like there's an attempt to kind of stretch the company's reach.
Great. You know what? I'm going to actually put that a part of our marketing, but yeah, 1,000%. At the end of the day, I think there's just so much unknown within a home, and you don't want to be intrusive on what these clients in these clients' homes. But at the same time, again, with Sensi, it gets us those answers, those unknowns. It turns them into knowns, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. And kind of staying on this like topic of other service lines and the different things that Pansy Home Care is looking to do, I do remember from that previous interview you mentioning some of the ways that you're also trying to expand the company's reach to touch your local community and some of the advocacy work that you'd gotten to be a part of. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I do still sit as vice chairman of the Home Care Association here in Connecticut. Recently, I'm no longer a part of the board for the Alzheimer's Association. But we're cheerleaders for all of those organizations. Between our three community liaisons, they're constantly going out, making educations, sharing what we've learned and understand. And they're doing it in terms of sharing, right? I think a lot of times when people are trying to give information, they're trying to educate someone. And sometimes that turns people off. So we've really tried to craft our messaging and our communication and our trainings in a way that, you know, feels as though, hey, we're just sharing some of the things that we've learned. So it opens people up to be able to receive it a little bit better know, we're not saying we know more. These are the things that we've learned and we're trying to share with the community at large. So whether it's a senior center, you know, we go to churches as well and try to help give some of these messaging to churches, especially the minority churches. Sometimes when it comes to whether it's respite funding or just care outside of family-based care overall, they're usually left out of these conversations. And so we try to make sure that, you know, we're visiting everywhere so that everyone can get some of this information that we've learned.
Absolutely. In recent years, what kind of organizations have you partnered with and how has that helped move Pansy Home Care forward?
Yeah, sure. So one of the big organizations that we've partnered with, and I just give a shout out to my friends over at LiveWell, it is LiveWell. You know, they do everything from home health and, you know, assisted living, their continued care community. We've also partnered with GCMs as well to be able to, again, keep our clients in home safer and have the nursing oversight, because in Connecticut, we are non-medical. So we not truly allowed to utilize nurses for any of our service offerings. And DCP, you can quote me, hey, you know, I didn't put any medical plugs in there. So, you know, geriatric care managers has really been big for us. I got a few off the top of my head right now that I'm even thinking of, as well as some partnerships with some assisted and continued care communities. Transition companies, placement organizations, for instance, my friends Liz Cornish and my friends over at Oasis as well, those industries seem to have been growing as well. So as those industries start to grow, we're seeing a lot more of these individuals. So we're building relationships with them. At the end of the day, we just want to know as much as we can to be able to pass on that information to the people in need.
Looking ahead, what are your overall goals for the company moving forward? And maybe for the purposes of this conversation, we could break it down to between long-term goals and short-term goals.
Sure. So short-term goals, within the next 6 months, we will be launching our second branch, servicing an additional county here in Connecticut. And then long-term goals is within the next 5 years, by 2029, our goal is to be the best, well, we feel as if we are, you know, and the numbers say we are the best dementia care agency in Connecticut, non-medical, servicing all of Connecticut.
And Jonah, before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to touch on?
One of my mentors, Jensen, often talks about the concept of, you know, we have our care plans for our clients. What about the care plans for our caregivers? And, you know, this drove me to really sit down and focus on that and continue to share his message with everybody else. You know, as we're continuing to understand just how critical our caregivers are, having a care plan with, you know, a well thought out care plan for our caregivers as well, helps them to be more successful, not just with a shift-to-shift basis, but throughout their tenure with the organization. So if there's anything that I can share from, you know, all of the insights and mastermind groups and, you know, stuff I've been a part of, that's one thing that I'd love to kind of give out, share out there as well is, you know, as Jensen Jones says, what about your caregivers? You have a care plan for your clients, but what about your caregivers?
Well, I think that that is a good note to end on. Jonah, thank you so much for joining us on Disrupt today.
Oh, no, I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com or consider becoming an HHCM Plus member. I'm Joyce Femakinwa, and this has been a production of WTWH Media.